But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Anybody know that the word has validity? That anything you need is in the word.
Welcome to the Excellence in Ministry broadcast with Dr. Dwayne Anthony Walker, Senior Pastor of Little Rock AME Zion Church. For the next 30 minutes, get ready for some dynamic teaching, preaching, and insight on the Word of God that will guide you to your destiny as a believer. At the end of the broadcast, information will be given about their church location and how to obtain a copy of this message in its entirety. Now let's join the Excellence in Ministry broadcast, already in progress.
Rather than spend time trying to convince people to come to church, we should convince people or just remind them who Jesus is. Am I right about it? Because to convincing people to come to church may not be a good idea, especially in light of what the church presents these days. When people look at the church, there's more about the church to turn people off than turn people on. Because when you talk to them about the church, sometimes you can't help but also share with them what you experienced in church. How someone hurt your feelings in church. What somebody said to you in the hallway in church. How somebody looked at you in church. You want to talk to them about the church problems and the church gossip and the church trouble and the church issues and all the things that you're raising, that by the time you get through talking to them about what you experienced in church and then you turn around and ask them, why'd you come to church? They want to know what they want to know why you're there. In all of that mess. But rather than talk to them about the church, talk to them about Jesus. Because Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And that is our role, to share Jesus. We've been reminding each other along the way this conference year that our theme, Advancing God's Kingdom Through Excellence in Ministry, is inspired by the text from Matthew 28, when Jesus is about to ascend back to the Father and says to his disciples to go into all the world and make disciples of every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I've told you. Lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age. But we must understand that we can't go into all the world and share Jesus if we don't show Jesus. And we can't show Jesus if we don't know Jesus. And so that's why we're raising the question, have you met Jesus? I mean, do you know him? Do you know him for yourself? These days and times in the age of skepticism, as I shared on last Sunday, that it's hard sometimes to believe anything. And even we hear the stories of Jesus, sometimes it sounds too good to be true. But I'm here to tell you that the stories that you hear about Jesus, that he is the truth. In fact, he is the truth, the light. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by him. But you got to know him for yourself. And I've come by to tell you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I was blessed this week as I was listening to one of my favorite CDs by Ty Tribbett. And Ty Tribbett has a song that says, same God. He said, if you've done it before, he'll do it again. Same God right now. Same God back. Anybody heard that song? If you did it before, he'll do it again. Same God right now. Same God back then. And why that's important? Because times have changed. Seasons have changed. Your situation may have changed. Your condition may have changed. But while seasons change and times change, there's one thing that will not change. He's the same God today, yesterday, and forevermore. Give him praise if you believe it in this house. With all the changing conditions, it's good to know that he's the same God right now as he was back then. I've come by to attest and affirm that he still sits high and he looks low. I've come by to attest and affirm that he is still the author and finisher of our faith. And I've come by to attest and affirm that he is still all that we need. Anybody glad he's all that we need today? And whatever he's done before, because he's alive and well, he can do it again. If he healed before, he can heal again. If he delivered before, he can deliver again. If he made a way for you before, he can make a way for you again. If you're unemployed right now, he gave you a job before, he can give you a job again. If he came through before, is there a witness in this place that when you're down to your last dime, won't he step in right on time? He's the same God right now. Same God back then. And I'm glad about it. He's the same God who has all power in his hands. And he's the same God who can still do anything but fail. There is no text in the Bible, in all the Bible, I believe, that illustrates this reality like the one before us today. One of my favorite stories about Jesus. I've preached this text time and time again, and every now and then I have to revisit it because I feel and believe that all of us find ourselves at one time or another right here where the disciples of Jesus find themselves. You know the story. He had been preaching. Jesus had been preaching and teaching and healing all day long. And the crowds had gathered to hear him. They were there to witness his wonders. They were there to hear his powerful words. They were there to see his miraculous power. At the end of the day, Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Put a pen right there. And as he said that, he left the crowd behind. And I want to say parenthetically that every now and then you ought to take a cue from Jesus. And sometimes you need to leave the crowd behind so he can minister to you and show you something that he needs to show you and tell you something that he needs to tell you. And sometimes you can't hear from him or see things because you get distracted by the crowd. So here they are now crossing the Sea of Galilee. Story goes on and says that they left the multitude. They took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And verse 37 says, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. So here they are with Jesus on the Sea of Galilee. And all of a sudden, they're caught in a storm. And I just want to tell somebody today to end this life. Are you listening? I don't care who you are. I don't care what you have. I don't care who you know. You're going to be caught in a storm. Let the church say caught in a storm. Yeah, that's the first point. You're going to be caught in a storm because life is filled with storms. Y'all don't believe me, so I'm only going to talk to three people in here. Just three of y'all I want to talk to. I want to talk to the person who was in a storm. And I want to talk to the person who is on their way to a storm. And I want to talk to somebody in here who just came out of a storm. Is that person here this morning? Because the truth of the matter is that you're either in a storm, on your way to a storm, or you just came out of a storm. And that's just the way it is, because life is filled with storms. Here they are on their way with Jesus. And they are caught in a storm. But what blesses me about this situation, that even though you're caught in a storm, can I give you this advice? That since you're going to be caught in a storm, you ought to take the disciples' cue and never let yourself be caught in a storm without Jesus. Oh, God, have mercy. Because while it is true they're in a storm, the good news is that Jesus is on board. Anybody glad about that? Because you're going to be caught in a storm. I don't know how you feel about it, Reverend Lenore, but I would rather be in a storm with Jesus than to be in the sunshine without him. I said I would rather be in a storm with Jesus than to be in the sunshine without him. As a matter of fact, I'd rather be sick with Jesus than be healthy without him. I'd rather be broke with Jesus than to have a pocket full of money without him. Anybody in here believe me today? Hallelujah. Even though they're caught in a storm, the good news is that Jesus is on board. As long as Jesus is on board, here they are caught in a storm. And I have to let you know something also about this situation. These disciples were experienced fishermen. Many of them were. But the truth is, I don't care how many storms you've been in, each storm is different. And he'd also tell you about storms is that if you've been in a storm, storms keep coming. I wish I could tell you that if you're in a storm or just came out of a storm, that's the last storm you got to encounter. But every storm is different. And storms keep on coming. And all a storm can really do is help you brace yourself for the next one that's on its way. I wish I could give you better news than that, but there's another one coming. And in this situation, here they are on this boat, caught in a storm with Jesus on board. Here they were in the Sea of Galilee, which was notorious for its storms. And these storms on the Sea of Galilee would come suddenly without warning. And the truth is, that's just how storms are. That they can come to you when the day is bright and calm, and next thing you know, a storm can show. I think there's at least a one witness in here. You could be minding your own business, watching Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune. And the phone can ring. And you pick up the phone and say, hello, who is it? Storm. You can be in the kitchen frying some fried chicken. And all of a sudden the doorbell rings. And you go to the door to see who it is. Storm. You could be watching the Bobcats and enjoying yourself. And the next thing you know, There is a storm that can interrupt your life. Storms keep coming, and sometimes they come without warning.
Praise 100.9 and 92.7 listeners, get ready for a minute with the doctor.
Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Dwayne Anthony Walker, pastor of Little Rock AME Zion Church. The word of God tells us in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, to bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. God is inviting us to participate and his economy. We deprive ourselves when we are disobedient to this basic expectation. However, God rewards obedience with his blessing. Your tithe helps to advance the kingdom of God as well as advance your own life. And that is a promise from heaven. You are invited to join us at Little Rock AME Zion Church for our Sunday morning worship experience at 10 a.m. For more details, call 704-334-3782 or visit our website at littlerockamezion.org.
This was the case with this storm. It came without warning. It was furious. It was a fierce storm. And the disciples, who were experienced fishermen, lost their minds. I mean, they really lost their mind. They lost it because they're in the storm. And even though they lost their mind, the good news is that Jesus was on board. And the other good news is somebody had sense enough to go get Jesus. Can I tell you this on the way? That when you're caught in a storm, make sure Jesus is on board. And when Jesus is on board, you ought to have sense enough to at least call on him. There's some things that we go through in storms that we're trying to face by ourselves. Why are you trying to face it when Jesus is on board your ship? At least you can do is call on him. Anybody know you can call on him? If you got problems in your life, you ought to call on him. If you got worries in your life, stop worrying about it and call on him. And anybody glad you can go to Jesus? No matter what you are going through, he's on board and you can call on him. I'm so glad the hymn writer said, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything. Everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. How are you going to be a child of God and not call on him? Why in the world are you dealing with needless pains and having forfeit to peace when all you got to do is call on him? Somebody wants to know, when can you call on him? I'm so glad you asked that question. You can call him in the morning. You can call him in the noonday. You can call him in the midnight hour. Anybody know you can call on Jesus and tell him what you will give him? Praise be to God. You can call on him. So they got Jesus. And they went to Jesus. And they woke him up. And they asked Jesus a question. The same question that some of us may be ashamed to admit that we want to ask sometimes when we're going through the storms of life. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Anybody ever been there in your life? Oh, tell the truth and shame the devil. Have you ever been there in your life when you have been down and out and afraid and lonely and lost and scared and broke and tired and afraid for your life, and problems and the issues are overwhelming you? And sometimes when you wake up Jesus, you want to ask him the question, Lord, do you care? Do you care that I'm crying? Do you care that I'm sick? Do you care that I'm in pain? Do you care that they're talking about it? Lord, do you care? And the good news is, yes, he does care. Anybody glad he cares? He cares. He cares for you and I. And they wake Jesus up. And they wake him up and they want to say to Jesus, Jesus, don't you see this storm? Now, Jesus didn't say this, but I would have said it. Don't Don't you see me? Asking Jesus if they see the storm, and Jesus would ask them, don't you see me? What is a storm against Jesus? Look what he does. He arose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was great calm. That's what I want to tell you. First of all, you're going to be caught in a storm. But secondly, the good news is that your storm can be calmed by the Savior. The church say calmed by the Savior. Anybody glad about that besides me? It can be calmed by the Savior. Jesus got up and he looked at them. Didn't say he looked at them, but if I were Jesus, I would have to look at them one time. He got up and looked at them. And he went to the edge of the boat. And it says here that he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. Oh God, that's a powerful part of the text right there. And I love this because what I have come to understand that this text says that he rebukes the wind and says to the sea, peace be still. I told you this before, but what this story really is a good analogy for spiritual warfare. See, Jesus teaches us something. He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. You and I would have done it differently. Because, see, the problem to the disciples was the storm. Because water was everywhere. There was water in the boat. There was water around them. There was water on them. When they woke Jesus up, there was water dripping on him. But when Jesus goes to the edge of the boat, he does not rebuke the water. He rebukes the wind. Now, what we would have done, we would have rebuked the sea because that's what we see. But Jesus understood that the water was not the real problem. Can I say that again? Yes. That Jesus understood, as we need to understand, that the water was not the real problem. The wind was the problem. You see, Satan will have you all distracted by the things that you see. And every time there's a problem that arises, we start rebuking what we see. And you can't deal with the real problems in your life because you are only distracted by what you see. But I've come to remind you that we are not governed by what we see. As people of God, we walk by faith and not by sight. Learn how to rebuke the source of the problem. And every time we run into situations and people begin to get on our last nerve and we want to fuss and cuss at them and we want to fuss at the kids and we want to kick the dog and all those kind of things that we begin to see. But I've come by here to say stop rebuking people and start rebuking the wind. You see, the wind is a ruah. It's another wind, another word for spirit. Stop rebuking the people and learn how to rebuke the wind. I've come by here to remind you in terms of spiritual warfare, that everything we see is only a manifestation of what we can't see. Everything you see in the physical is yet but a manifestation of what you can't see in the spiritual. Everything that you see in the visible realm is only a manifestation of the invisible. What am I trying to say? It's the invisible that causes the visible. It is the spiritual that causes the physical. And you got to learn how to speak to the source of the problem and stop dealing with the effect of the issue and start learning how to deal with the cause of the issue. If we only learn that in America, we will stop building so many prisons and start building some schools, because we want to do, we see problems occurring among our young people, we want to lock them up instead of training them up. I've come by to say if we train them up, maybe we'll have to lock them up. I say if we train them up, Maybe we have to lock them up. And we need to stop fighting the people before us. When people begin to rise up on us, instead of rebuking them, learn how to rebuke the spirit that rests in them. And understand that that which you are seeing is not of God. And you got the power to speak to it in the name of Jesus. And rebuke that spirit and call it out in the name of Jesus. And so this morning, I want to take a cue from Jesus. I want to speak to the storm that exists even in this ship. Instead of rebuking people, learn how to rebuke the spirit. And so this morning, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of jealousy in this house. I rebuke the spirit of envy in this house. I rebuke the spirit of selfish ambition in this house. I rebuke the spirit of hatred in the house of God. I rebuke the spirit of loneliness in the house of God. I rebuke the spirit of insubordination in the house of God. I rebuke the spirit of disobedience in the house of God. As a matter of fact, I rebuke the spirit of mess in God's house. Keep the mess from this address in the name of Jesus. We got to get to the heart of the matter. And we got to learn how to stop rebuking people and do what Jesus did. Instead of rebuking the sea, he rebuked the wind, which was the cause of the problem. Instead of rebuking people, rebuke the spirit that's behind people and understand that we would then minister to people. What Jesus did, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace be still." In other words, he rebuked the wind and he ministered to the sea. Stop rebuking people, rebuke the spirit behind people, and minister to the people. Oh God. And I want you to know that even in your own life, that there are things that are stopping you from being the man of God and the woman of God that God is calling you to be. And Jesus is standing over your life, rebuking the storms in your life. He's getting to the very heart of the matter. He won't rebuke you, but he will rebuke the habits that cause you to do what you do. He'll rebuke the lifestyle that caused you to go where you go. He'll rebuke the spirit that leads you to say what you say. Anybody glad? He won't throw you away. He'll keep on using you while he ministers to you. Give him praise if you believe it today. Hallelujah. No, he won't get rid of me. He'll rebuke what's in me, and then he'll minister to me. Anybody glad we serve a God like that? If he did it before, he'll do it again. Same God right now, he's the same God back then. Look at what happens. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm.
Thank you for tuning in to the Excellence in Ministry broadcast with Dr. Dwayne Anthony Walker, Senior Pastor of Little Rock AME Zion Church. If you are new to the area and seeking a church home, please feel free to come by our location, 401 North McDowell Street, just minutes from Uptown Charlotte. Our order of services are as follows: 9 a.m. Sunday School, 10 a.m. Morning Service, 12 noon Wednesday Midday Bible Study, and 7 p.m. Evening Bible Study. Also, if you were blessed by today's message and want to obtain a copy in its entirety, call 704-334-3782. That's 704-334-3782. If you want to know more about what's going on at Little Rock, you can visit us on the web at littlerockamezion.org. Little Rock AME Zion Church is a ministry with so much to offer. They have ministries for adults and children, choirs, missions, and outreach that helps inside the church and the community as a whole. And of course, this radio broadcast where God is glorified, Jesus is magnified, the people are edified, faith is fortified, and ministry is multiplied. Be blessed and tune in next week for the Excellence in Ministry broadcast with Dr. Dwayne Anthony Walker on WPZS Praise 100.9 and 92.7 and PraiseCharlotte.com. Praise listeners, we thank you for listening to our station 24/7, 365 with our great programming from the Yolanda Adams Morning Show, Melanie Pratt, the Lonnie Hunter Show, the James Fortune Show, William Beckton, and Christopher Gray. These great personalities play gospel gospel and inspirational music that's current and from the past, and we know you love it. Now, for those of you who love the preached word, WPZS Praise 100.9 and 92.7 has four dynamic 30-minute blocks of programming, beginning Sundays at 6 a.m. with an inspirational variety show, Motivations with Gloria. 6:30 a.m., Life-Changing Church with overseer Dorothy McGuire. 7 a.m., The Glory Has Come International Ministries with Pastor Troy and Prophetess Nicole King. And 7:30, The Excellence in Ministry Broadcast with Dr. Dwayne Anthony Walker of Little Rock AME Zion Church. That's 2 hours of preaching, teaching, and inspirational entertainment every Sunday morning just for you on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.